Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity for sharing some of our work with you. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and actually lead author, Steve Robison, who couldn't join us today, and also Jim Gaudino and Dr. Colette Young. A little closer. Is that better? Okay. So a lot of us struggle with vaccine hesitancy issues in our populations. And this picture from Alice in Wonderland shows what I think many parents are facing, that Alice is hiding behind the trees, kind of watching the Red Knight and the White Knight duke it out in public about are vaccines a good thing or are vaccines something we should be concerned about. So a little background. In Oregon, immunizations are required for school entry for both preschool and kindergarten and first grade, as well as other ages. However, parents can sign an exemption based on personal beliefs, and we've seen an increase in those exemptions. In the mid-90s, the exemption rate was around 1% statewide in Oregon. By school year 06-07, it had increased to about 3.5%. And we found that many of those exemptions cluster in geographic pockets. So we have some communities where the exemption rate for the school children can be up to 20 or 30%, and you've got schools that range from zero exemptions to 100% of their student body have exemptions, depending on the school. So it's quite a gamut, but we find a lot of those clusters are community-based. Parents in those communities with higher exemption rates, we find, are having concerns about vaccines, and they're also seeking immunization information from a variety of sources. This image on the screen is actually a book cover title that we found in an area bookstore in Portland. So what is vaccine hesitancy? It's kind of a newer term to describe increasing parental worries about immunizations. Hesitancy can lead to parents either avoiding some or all early childhood immunizations, and it can later lead to signing exemptions. However, as a provider or as a researcher, we don't always know who does and doesn't have exemptions, and it's often very difficult to either obtain medical records or school records to look to identify these populations that are at risk or putting our communities at risk for lower herd immunity. So the purpose of this work was to develop an attitudinal measure of hesitancy based on data, and then to test the measure's utility in identifying vaccine hesitant populations. The work is based on a survey we did in 2006, a survey of parents statewide in Oregon. It was a multi-stage cluster survey with a population proportionate sample. It was a case control sample. Cases were exempters, and we matched one exemptor to three non-exemptors based on school and grade. It was a mailed survey, and we asked about parents' beliefs and attitudes and practices around vaccines and access to healthcare in general and information sources. We had almost 1,600 respondents, which was a response rate of about 54%, and then we post-weighted the data in Stata to reflect the Oregon population as a whole. So we asked about parental beliefs, and we posed a series of six statements, and they were on a Likert scale. So we asked parents how strong, from strongly agree to strongly disagree. And I'll just read these quickly. So one was, getting too many vaccines at once will overwhelm my child's immune system. Almost 32% of all respondents agreed with this statement, agreed or strongly agreed with this statement. It's important for kids to get all doctor recommended shots. Vaccines may sometimes cause autism. And it's of note that 1 in 5 parents believe this, and it's probably higher now. Vaccines are given at too young of an age. The benefits of childhood vaccinations outweigh their risks, and it's better for my child to get disease naturally. We used a series of these six questions because in combination we were trying to guard against any one question being interpreted differently by individuals. Asking a series of questions helps make them more comparable. So we took these three questions and combined them into the Oregon Vaccine Hesitancy Index. The way we did that was we took the scales on all six items and had them go all the same direction so that those who were kind of, let's say, more vaccine positive were at the lower end, and the higher value were more vaccine hesitant. The scores on each individual question were then added and normalized to an interval from 0 to 1. If someone chose not to answer any of the attitude questions, then they were counted as a missing. If they answered a few of them but left a few of them missing, those missing values we coded as a midpoint, as a neutral on that Likert scale, and included them in the index. We had a resulting Cronbach alpha of 0.84, which helps support the assumption that there is one single underlying dimension of hesitancy to this six-item index. So we took our index and wanted to look back at our data and see how well it compares to exemptions. And we split our group into three. We have the exemptors, those who considered getting an exemption but chose to get vaccinated. And those, the third group is those who got vaccinated and said they didn't consider an exemption. Our exemptors had a mean index score of 0.6 with a confidence interval of 0.54 to 0.68. As you can see, the index matches well with the data. We saw what we expected. Those with exemptions had a higher hesitancy index, and we were actually created three distinct groups. We also wanted to look at, we saw our index matched well with our exemption data. We wanted to look at a few other measures of immunization concern, being able to take a general test and be able to apply it to more than one outcome measure for immunizations kind of expands the value of that index. So we looked at social closeness to perceived vaccine harm and getting shots for another baby, and I'll go over these. So parents were asked if they knew about children hurt by vaccines, if they had heard or read about children, hurt children, and if they knew someone with an allegedly hurt child, including their own. The kind of underlying framework to that is that the closer the source of alleged harm is to a parent, the more apt they're apt to act on that concern or have it influence their attitudes and beliefs. So we looked at four groupings again. Those parents who said they had no knowledge, they hadn't heard of any vaccine hurt kids, they had an index score of 0.24. Those who had a distant relation to vaccine hurt kids, that's folks who said that they heard about it on the news or they read it in a magazine, their hesitancy index was up to 0.29. Then we see a big jump when you get to those who have a personal relationship. So close or those who know someone. So I know that my sister's neighbor's child had an adverse event, or I know that my cousin's child had an adverse event according to my cousin. Those folks had then a jump in their vaccine hesitancy because it's much closer to them. And then, of course, those with their own child reported adverse event, their hesitancy index is again much higher. So it matches with what we expected to see. Another way to look at it is, another outcome variable we wanted to look at is, parents were asked, if they had another baby today, would they get all the recommended shots? This was an outcome variable or question that Deborah Gustin, her folks, had used in a 2004 survey. Again, we see that our hesitancy index works well with this outcome data. Those who said that they would not get shots today had a much higher hesitancy. So how can we use this index? The way we see using it as a predictive screening tool to identify groups with exemptions or other immunization concerns. So we could use it for survey data. If you have a large survey and you want to try to get at vaccine concerns, if you just ask this short set of six questions, you're going to be able to identify a population that you might want to do some further work with. Another possibility would be to take the six questions and develop some kind of client screening tool for a provider to use so that they can initiate that conversation with a parent who appears to have some hesitations about vaccines. Let me walk you a bit through this slide. So one of the things we wanted to look at is how sensitive or specific is this index to identifying these subpopulations. So sensitivity is the ability to correctly identify all cases, or in our instance, the index's ability to identify all exemptors. Specificity is the ability of the index to identify only true exemptors. And the sensitivity is in blue. The specificity is in yellow. And let me see if I can get this. I'll skip that. Okay, so let me walk you through how reading this. Let's say we decide to choose a cutoff value on the index at 0.9. So on the furthest to the right of your screen, if we said, okay, we want to look at everybody with a value of 0.9 or above on their index, we will, by specificity, the yellow line, we can see that we're going to 100% of who we capture in that group with a score of 0.9 or above, 100% of them are going to be exemptors. We have good confidence in that. But if you look at the blue line, we're going to find that if you only go at a cutoff of 0.9 or above, you're only capturing 20% of the exemptors. So while you're capturing, so you're only capturing 20%, but those ones that you've captured are all exemptors. Another example, let's take a value of 0.4. In this case, if you look at the blue line, the sensitivity, 97 to 98% of the exemptors in your study population will be captured if you choose 0.4 as your cutoff. 0.4 and above value, you'll get 98% of your exemptors in that subpopulation. But you'll also find that about 50% of the people in your subpopulation are not exemptors. So you need to have a little bit of information about the level of exemption in your population to help you decide where to do the cutoff point and what's going to be of most value. That decision depends on what your intervention or what your point of the cutoff is. So for example, in public health, we're often less interested in the extremes, those who are very pro-vaccine or those who are very hesitant to vaccine. They're groups that have already made up their minds. We're often interested in that middle population who's weighing the pros and cons. Those are the fence sitters. Those are the folks that we think we might have some impact on through a health education campaign or through educating providers on how to talk with those parents. So we took our data from a survey and our index and divided the data, the folks, into three different groups. The mostly accepting folks had an index value of less than 0.5, the fence-sitting group, and then the vaccine-resistant. Those are at the extremely high end. And this is what the data looked like from the survey. This is unweighted survey data. We found that about, with a cutoff point of 0.5, on the left side of the screen, about 82% of the survey population fell into that group, and they were mostly accepting of vaccines. Our fence sitters, those who had more and more questions or concerns, about 15%, and our vaccine resistant were 3%. So we took this and also then looked at our exemption status. So we have the same three groups, mostly accepting. 72% of the mostly accepting group went ahead and vaccinated without any questions. About 26 considered an exemption but went ahead and vaccinated, whereas only 2% ended up signing an exemption. As we expected, our fence sitters were pretty evenly divided between considered and exempt, and our vaccine resistant folks, about 89% of those folks ended up signing an exemption. So again, it shows a good match between our index and our primary outcome variable, which in this case was exemption status. So conclusions. The vaccine hesitancy index is potentially a useful tool for screening populations for vaccine issues to help us identify groups that we might want to do an intervention with. As far as next steps, we've tested this in our survey data. It would be great if someone else doing survey work were to take this index and see how it works with their data. Another possibility, like we mentioned, would be to take this index idea and use it for actually a client population to kind of help initiate that conversation between a provider and a client. We have not done that yet with this data, but it's something that we look forward to doing in the future or hearing that other folks have done. That's it. Thank you.